WMNF.com.
On August 19th, WMNF will be honoring Tampa Bay individuals and organizations who are sowing the seeds of equality and peace and promoting social, economic, and environmental justice. It's our first ever Hometown Heroes celebration. From now until July 15th, you can nominate a person or group as a hometown hero. Go to WMNF.org for more information and to make a nomination. Well, it's been 3 days since we convened a session, and you can count some 40 tweets from the President of the United States, and that doesn't count the retweets, and that culminated in an attack on a restaurant that asked Press Secretary Sarah Sanders to leave, and a presidential suggestion that we ignore due process for people who reach America looking for asylum, complaining that, and this is a quote, a long and complicated legal process is not the way to go. And children, the children that we've been, that's the end of the quote, and the children that we've been taking should just be, quote, brought back to their country. Now, you can see a couple of the tweets, including the one about the red hen at the WMNF Facebook page. So, you are listening to WMNF. This is community radio from West Central Florida, and you are welcome to executive session. This is a forum for discussion of the executive branch of your United States government. My name's John Gilmore, and I host the sessions each weekday, Monday through Thursday at this time, joined in the studio by Mr. Victor Gomez, who will be doing his dead level best to keep our discussion on the rails. And has the emails available to him, so your email communication might actually reach us on the air. We don't know. We'll have to find out. All viewpoints are welcome, by the way. Civility is required. We are testing the proposition that our republic will fare better if, instead of screaming at each other across the street, we talk with each other over the back fence. And you can join the conversation at 813-239-9663. That'll get you in contact with Mr. Frank Knox. Frank's will answer your call. Going to want to know your first name, where you're calling from, a word or two about what you got to say. Or you can reach the studio and possibly Victor at dj@wmnf.org by email or 813-433-0885. And again, be sure to search for executive session on Facebook and like and follow the page, and you can discuss the day's White House events there as well. So, what does due process mean to you? Do you think we should just abandon it for people who seek to enter the United States seeking asylum? And also, there seems to be a bit of what looks like it might be a tactic emerging, and that is publicly shaming officials. We had Secretary of DHS Nielsen apparently run out of a restaurant. We've had Stephen Miller heckled at a public event. Had Sarah Huckabee Sanders asked to leave a restaurant. And then, as Rob talked about on Midpoint, and as we talked about her a little earlier today, we had Pam Bondi, who was confronted at a movie theater in Tampa. And what do you think of that? Do you think that that kind of tactic is appropriate? Is that something that is within the bounds of a kind of civil disobedience that registers as protest for you? 813-239-9663, and we are on our way. That's the wrong one. Let's try this one.
Boy, the way Glenn Miller played.
Songs that made the hit parade.
Guys like us, we had it made.
Those were the days. And you knew when you
that we could use a man like Herbert Hoover again. We need no welfare state.
Everybody pulls his weight.
G.R.O. LaSalle and great.
And we are in session for Monday afternoon, ramping it back up after the weekend, after an aptly named Buckle Up Thursday, and looking for your thoughts on how this administration is conducting itself, especially right now, a discussion about due process. This is a president who presented himself. You remember the Law and Order candidate? You remember the Law and Order candidate? You remember him booming from the podium about being the Law and Order candidate? And now is advocating, just ignoring due process and rounding up people as they show up at the border and simply taking them home. I have questions. And what we're going to do is we're going to see what you have to say about this, because this is your show. Robert in Oldsmar, good afternoon. You're in executive session this afternoon, and you have the floor.
Good afternoon. You know, this all started right at the election. You know, the celebrities are, you know, trying to get on their commercials, trying to get, you know, don't give them the delegates and all that. I mean, it's bullying. It's not the way to go. There are people with different opinions, and, you know, I don't know where this is going to, you know, end. You know, is it going to be most likely with violence? You know, nobody wants illegal immigration. That's, I think, the whole thing. Due process has not worked, and, you know, it seems more to me that it's the left that, you know, stands up for, remember, this is illegal immigration that we're talking about, not legal. And it's not working. We're overflowing with court cases, and, you know, we don't have the people to do it. And, you know, I believe the left just wants to, you know, let everybody go, ignore the law.
Wait a minute. Let me ask you a question. Who,
I knew that was coming.
Who have you heard from the left, whoever you identify as the left, who have you heard that said, ignore the law, open the borders, let anybody in here that wants to come? You know, who have you heard on the left that actually advocates that position?
The whole position. We can't let them go. You can't keep them together and just let them go. You have to let them go into the country and hope that the, you know, my new percent that shows up for a court case.
You mean the 74% that's been tagged with an ankle bracelet who show up for their court hearing? 74%? That minute fraction?
No, that's not what I'm talking about. These people, they get lost. They get lost. They're not tagged with ankle bracelets. You know, first we have to get to the real root. There are people that want asylum. There's a lot of people abusing the system. We have so many people. We don't have enough. We have to appoint more judges. Where we got lawyers.
Well, let me ask you this. How do you find out whether or not someone has a justifiable claim to seek asylum, unless you have some sort of due process, unless they have some sort of hearing?
Well, we don't have the facilities to hold these people. And right, you do have to, and there's so many. It's not like there's 10 or 15. It's a crazy number, and it doesn't matter. It's way overboard.
Well, actually, it's not. Actually, it's
that.
I'm not sure that it's that bad.
What does the left want to do? The left, that's what they want to do. They want to just release them, but we can't release them into Mexico because of laws that Congress won't change. There's a lot more to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it's very complicated. Don't get me wrong; it's very complicated.
It's a bad move, but what I never hear is solutions. This is—it's a mess. It's been—it is becoming a mess, and it's been a mess for a long time. You know, when this stuff kind of happened a few years back within Obama, it didn't happen as often, or, you know, they weren't ready for it then, and they took some blowback. But it did happen. The the same thing. But what it is, when I saw that, I said, this is going to become a big mess. And it is. Right now, you can't have illegal immigration like we have it. You can't.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't work. And the point is I'm going to get back to the harassment. There are people with different views about that, and they keep going to the race card and the people. You know, we're basically becoming a welfare state for, you know, all these countries.
I have a request for you. I request that you look up the term welfare state, because I'm pretty sure that you're going to find out that the way that it's been used by the right for the last generation is not what a welfare state is. Okay, just check it out, because technically a welfare state is a state that's concerned with the welfare of its citizens and takes measures to protect and support them. See,
right.
So and we turned the term welfare into an expletive.
Very good point. I'm gonna make one quick one because I want to get out of here. But we can't even take care of our own people. You just had a show on not long ago. I've been listening all morning.
Yeah.
We have a lot of people living in poverty that we can't help. And now this puts another drain on our system. And technically, there are a lot of people jobbing the system. They're working and gaming the system. And that's a fact. You can deny it, but, they got coyotes. I mean, all this, it's a mess for the people, too. It's a mess for them. And it's a hard problem to solve. But all this attacks and, harassing, and Maxine Waters pretty much, inciting violence, if you saw that today. I mean,
I definitely haven't seen Maxine Waters inciting violence, but I hear you.
I wanted you to look up a definition that I looked up the other day.
Because okay.
You're biased. 62% of Americans think the media is biased.
Yeah, I wonder where they got that idea.
Look from who?
Yeah, I wonder where they got that idea.
No, don't.
Here's the thing. I hear constant complaints, especially from the right, about the media bias. I hear the media reporting constantly labeled fake news. You know what I don't ever hear? You know what I don't hear? I don't hear people citing verified examples of fake news.
Well, biased, unfair. Listen, you got the guy Tom Steyer, people, we need to impeach Trump. You don't even have a charge. So you're basically slandering someone. And right now it looks like that Mueller probe is fizzling out. And if you watched any of those hearings...
I would caution you against thinking that quiet means it's fizzling out.
It's going to go away, and there's nothing there. And meanwhile, the media, has soiled or tried to soil the president.
Robert, I'm telling you that I've been watching Mr. Trump ever since he descended the golden stair, and my assessment of Mr. Trump is that he soils himself rather regularly.
Well, I know it's Comey, McCabe, Strzok. They're all in a lot of trouble, not for nothing.
We'll see. Listen, I'll tell you what. I got to go. There's a lot more to do here today, but I got to. I'll tell you what. I completely support a thorough investigation of what those people did, and I completely support any appropriate charges that should be leveled against them, okay?
Yeah.
If there is misconduct that rates a disciplinary action, then I completely support that. Robert, listen, you have kicked us off in fine fashion, and I hope that you and I get to talk again. 813-239-9663 will get you into contact with Mr. Frank Knox. He is going to listen to you and take your name and your location, and then we'll talk. Just like we're going to talk to Steve in Tampa. Steve, good afternoon. You're in executive session.
How are you? First of all, I just wanted to say I love the way that last guy just kept talking while you were trying to talk, and it was...
Well, I kept talking while he was trying to talk, too, so it worked out in both directions.
But I just want to answer your second question. I think it is absolutely legitimate to make these people's lives as miserable as possible because they are doing everything they can to make everybody else's other than their little 1% lives as miserable as they can. So anything we can do to just stick it to them, any nasty little thing we can do, any rotten little way we can ruin their day is beautiful.
Okay, I hear you. So you are of the you are weighing in on the side of disrupting people's basically civil sort of goings on. If they're in the grocery store, you see them in the grocery store, that it's okay with you if a group of people surrounds them and starts chanting shame, shame, shame.
Absolutely.
Okay, got it. All right, well, listen, Steve, thank you very much. I appreciate you weighing in on that particular viewpoint, and with any luck, we'll talk again.
Okay.
Sure enough. 813-239-9663 will get you into contact with Mr. Frank Knox, and right now we're going to talk to Danny. Danny, good afternoon. You're an executive session.
Good afternoon. Good Monday to you, John.
Hey, good Monday to you.
Thank you. Yeah, that's Steve. He's a buddy of mine, as you can probably surmise. You know, I'll tell you, first of all, before I get to that whole thing about harassment and everything, there was a quote right now on the MSNBC and CNN and Fox that Trump says, quote, "My people love separation of migrant families."
Uh-huh.
Gee, we're shocked about that, aren't we?
That's a very... And when was it that was supposed to have been uttered?
Probably just a few minutes ago. Or maybe this morning. You know, but just a little while ago.
Well, see,
He actually said that.
We have a bit of a disadvantage here in the session because this administration and the events around it move so fast,
so rapidly.
You know, we're busily assembling the program here at 9 or 10 o'clock in the morning, 11 or 12 o'clock in the morning. By 1 o'clock in the afternoon, there may have been a whole bunch of stuff that happened that we are now not aware of.
I know it. And then and some of these parents have been sent back already to their home countries, back deported already, Guatemala, Honduras, and the kids have been moved. So how in the hell are they going to be able to find them and match them up like that? Yeah, it's unbelievable. Now let me get to the harassment part. Steve, you know, as a rule, I'm always with you. And a lot of people, you know, John, are too young, or maybe they just been so wild that they forget the 60s. They forget the way that things were done.
If you remember the 60s, you weren't there.
Yeah, that's unbelievable. I was there, and I remember. And I remember a lot of impromptu, same type of disrespect. It was called not only questioning authority, it was called disrespecting authority. And I remember back, it was a thing called the Vietnam War. And I remember every time there was a lot of things very similar to now, that whenever you saw somebody who was for the war, was in the administration, or was in that, you basically did the same thing. And you took some protests where it was not appropriate to be a protest in public places. And, for example, Trump is so lucky. He is so lucky not to have the Chicago 7 alive today, okay, with Jerry Rubin, Abby Hoffman, Tom Hayden, Renee Davis, because they would have made his life even more miserable, okay, and more miserable. Now, I'm from that era. I'm from that stock, but I told you before, I'm a hippie, yippie. I've got this big conflict going on. I'm into what they are, but I'm also into peace and love and nonviolence. So it's really, really, but I get angry, man. I get angry like Maxine Waters. I get angry. And do I think it's appropriate now? Well, you know, you got all these incidents. Pam Bondi, you have what happened with Sarah Sanders. You have all the, and your first thought is, if you're against Trump, you're going to say, yeah, keep it. But then if you think about it, it could lead to a thing called violence.
Yeah.
More violence, not against politicians, but against maybe regular people. Mm-hmm. If they find out, oh, you're a Trump hater, you're a Trump supporter, what are you going to do? Have water fountains like the old days, black and white? This water fountain is for non-Trump supporters. This water fountain is for Trump's, for Trump supporters.
Okay.
Is it going to get down to that? Where does it end, Chuck?
Well, I'll tell you what, Danny, I'm pretty ambivalent about it. And, and up until the point... I think the dividing line for me was when this administration started to, and I'm going to use some highly incendiary language.
Okay.
And but basically what they started doing was kidnapping hostages.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And
right.
And I say that because the program, the change in the policy at the border was fundamentally promulgated around trying to wedge Congress to do something about the immigration, and specifically to get the border wall funded and to get the what he calls chain migration and all that stuff, like that. All of the things that are on his agenda, that was supposed to be motivation for people to get that stuff handled. And I say, when you take children from their parents and you send them from Texas to Michigan.
Yeah.
Okay. And you put them, and you put them in a camp. And I urge people, look up just in your search engine, just type in concentration camp and look at the definition.
That's right.
And when you take kids hostages and you put their hostage and you put them in camps like that for political purposes, to me, that's a crime.
And that's evil, a crime. That is an evil, evil crime.
And if you and I have political differences, that's one thing. If I'm clear you're committing a crime, that's a whole other level of difficulty right there. I'm ambivalent about it. I haven't come down on one side or the other, but I got to tell you, I think this administration is committing crimes against humanity.
I agree with you. And just to leave you with this thought, that wall will never be. It will never be.
You're the second person today that I've heard say that.
The wall will not exist. Mexico already gave him the finger, say we're not going to pay for it.
Well, they're not going to pay for it.
Let me tell you this. Remember when he was in his campaign? Remember who started all this, who, quote, confrontation? Go ahead. I'll pay for your bail. Punch him in the face. I wonder if we can remember that.
I remember it. All right, Danny, listen.
Thank you, John.
Gotcha. See you next time.
Hey, see you, buddy.
Sure enough. 813-239-9663. We also have you available by email at dj@wmnf.org, by text at 813-433-0885. Frank Knox is going to answer your call when you call in. He's going to want to know your first name. He's going to want to know where you're calling from. He may even want to know a word or two about what it is that you have to say. We're going to talk to David and Sefner. David, good afternoon. You're in executive session.
Hey, John. Hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty well so far. It is Monday.
Yeah, you in your first call, you did handle that quite well. So, yeah, I was applaud you for
well, you know, we do
calm and reasoned.
We do hold a space here for any viewpoint as long as it's civilly expressed. And the other thing about it is we try to maintain some tether to a shared reality here.
Yeah. No, you did a great job with that guy, and I just hope that he'll open his mind a little bit. But one thing I want to say, you know, I think it's important to know, and Trump actually mentioned this, that part of the reason he signed that executive order was he didn't like the optics of the crying children. I saw it in there, a U.S. Marine out of Orlando was deported recently, and his children were on a press conference crying about, you know, they're losing their father. But this guy's a Marine, for God's sake. You know, he fought for this country, and he did his service, and he's being treated like crap.
You know, I don't understand it. I was in the service a long, long time ago. It was just after they stopped hewing ships out of palm trunks, there we had people who joined the service for the because one of the benefits that was offered them was citizenship.
Yeah.
They would come, and the people that I knew were mostly from the Philippines, but this was all out in the Western Pacific, so I guess that was not too big a shock. But we had a lot of Filipino people who came into the service, who served, and one of the benefits of serving voluntarily, because the service I was in was all volunteer, one of the benefits, one of the things you got from stepping up and volunteering was you got to be a citizen. So I'll be damned if I understand how you can pick up a Marine. That doesn't make any sense to me at all.
Yeah, and I encourage your listeners to put in deported Marine in Google, and I think it'll pop up. And that's the kind of thing I would love to see, the mainstream media pick up on more, because if he's worried about the optics on just in general about crying children, this press conference in particular really got my
opinion. the optics of deporting an active duty United States Marine is that's some pretty bad optics right there. I got to tell you,
except his child crying, and it's
Exactly. Yeah, so. All right. Well, listen, David. Thanks for your call this afternoon, and we'll talk again.
Thank you.
Sure enough. 813-239-9663. We are going to step away from the conversation briefly, bring you some information about what's happening around this station, and remind you of some of the other folks who are alongside you supporting your community radio station. Support for WMNF comes from our members in Happy Feet Plus, a traditional sit-down shoe store. Locally owned and operated, Happy Feet Plus features Kenco massage sandals and medical-grade orthotics. More at happyfeet.com. And thanks to all who donated during WMNF Summer Drive. We're happy to report that we've gone over our goal. We couldn't do it without you. If you have any questions, call Gene Moore at 813-238-8001. All right, I'm going to ambush Victor here for just a second, because I think that he was over there. I saw fingers flying, and I heard keys a clicking, and I think he was over there looking up that quote. Tell us about the definition. See if there's a button over there that needs to be pushed, because it doesn't sound like you're on. Let me see something. Maybe I got the wrong mic on. Try it again.
Hello, hello.
Oh, there you are.
Here we go.
Oh, look at there. If you push the button, the thing works.
All right, well, I'm in a new position today, the first time over here, so new to this. But the definition of welfare state is a system whereby the government undertakes to protect the health and well-being of its citizens, especially those in financial or social need, by means of grants, pensions, and other benefits. The foundations of the modern welfare state in the U.S. were laid by the New Deal programs of President Franklin D. Roosevelt.
Scandalous. Absolutely scandalous. Now, I also thought I saw some activity over there when the gentleman said something, that quote about our people. And I was wondering, did you go out there scratching around after that?
I went out there scratching around, and I typed in Trump and immigrants on Google, and nothing came up. Nothing has happened within the past. He said it happened about a couple minutes ago.
Yeah.
And honestly, I can refresh the Google page right now, and nothing's come up.
Okay. Well, listen, stay after it, and we'll see, because that's some fairly incendiary statement.
Of course.
All right. Thank you very much. All right, back to the conversation, and we're going to go over here, and we're going to talk to Simon. Simon, how is it out in Lakeland this afternoon?
Good. Thanks a lot for taking my call. Your researcher may want to look at Bing and Firefox as well.
Bing and Firefox.
Correct.
Okay.
Bias. Look up the Harvard Shorenstein study that talks about bias in the media.
Uh-huh.
Question on immigration.
Okay.
I brought up the issue about harassment on Friday with Daniel Ruth, and I find it, I have no qualms about people protesting, but I think when you're invading someone's space in a restaurant next to their table and yelling shame, shame, shame at people in public, I think the linear extension of that is Jew, Jew, Jew. Who's going to be next?
Mm-hmm. I don't think. But what if it was what if the person sitting at the table was Goebbels?
Joseph Goebbels. If it was him, I'd protest outside of the restaurant.
Okay. All right, good. That's good. I just wanted to know because we're dealing in it. This is, I got to tell you, in all my years, I never thought we would be having these conversations about the United States government.
After the Nuremberg laws, the Germans used to go into restaurants and do what you just talked about. But I wanted to get to a greater issue here.
Uh-huh.
And let's just talk about immigration.
Okay.
The fertility rate in the United States is 1.9 in 2016.
Mm-hmm. We're not replacing ourselves, are we?
You have to be at 2.1 to sustain a civilization.
Yeah.
And so my question is, in addition to that, at 1.9, we have to bring people in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what are going to be our policies on immigration? The World Bank states that there's 2.7 billion people that make less than $2 a day. Now, I've asked you before, if you're a humanist, a globalist, if you're considered people global citizens of the planet, and you said that was an interesting question, but you didn't say yes or no.
I actually am, I'm actually unsure. I don't commit myself to ists and isms. For the most part, because I'm not thoroughly familiar with the vernacular, what it is that exactly means, and I'm kind of careful in my definition of my person.
Well, you talked about the United States having principles. I'll interject two other words along with principles: policy and interest of a country.
Okay.
So, what are our interests, and what will be our policy?
Okay.
Who are you going to let in? Why are you going to let them in? And what benefit to this country will they be?
Mm-hmm. Well, here's the, you know what? Those are good things to look at. And there's also another word, and that is the principles. And it's the principles that the country is founded on. This country is founded on some very clear humanitarian principles that are unlike, and I mean, they were actually written. I don't know if you are undoubtedly a much more thorough historian than I am. So I would ask you, do you know of any other country in the world in history that was literally written into existence, that wasn't a product of physical boundaries, that wasn't a product of ethnic, you know, groups, but that was actually written into existence?
Well, this country represents the opportunity that was not allowed people that were discriminated against in religion and race.
Yeah, it's kind of why we came here, isn't it?
Well, I understand that. I do understand that. But as I said before, there's an evolution in the country with regard to interest.
Mm-hmm.
And the amount of poverty in the world is 8 times the size of the United States.
Oh, easily. We only have something like 5% of the world's population.
So at what point do you have to make the determination as to primarily taking care of your citizens first and then developing policy that can then grow the interest of the country?
Okay.
And so I have some qualms as far as allowing people to come across the border illegally. I am an immigrant. It took me 12 years to get my citizenship.
Right.
And so I understand that.
What if where you were living, Simon, your daughter, you lived next door to someone, and last night a gang came to your next-door neighbor's house and raped their 12-year-old daughter because they wouldn't conform with the wishes of the gang. And while they were over there committing that, they looked over and saw your 11-year-old daughter.
Well, let me give you an example. First of all, I don't think we can allow immigration to be based on the criminality of the world or the corruption in the world.
No, it has to be. But don't you want people to be able to seek safety, Simon?
Well, you're talking about principle. I'll give you one historical principle. In the Nuremberg laws in Germany, when Hitler started to expel the professors who were Jewish in college and universities across the German country, principles, this country did not take any, except for Einstein and a few, but did not take any of those professors to this country. In fact, there was exchanges, student foreign exchanges in this country between our universities and Nazi Germany's universities.
So it is clear to say then, I think given what you've just said, it is accurate to say that we made horrible errors in that era.
In many eras across our country.
Yeah. So the thing about it is that when we look back over our history and we see those errors, do we correct them or do we compound them by repeating them?
We always strive to be a better nation.
Good.
But we are human, and as humans, we always, unfortunately, want to take care of ourselves first as survival.
Yep. All right, listen, Simon, thank you very much. I appreciate the conversation, the civility, and I look forward to our next conversation.
Take care.
Sure enough. 813-239-9663. What do you think about that? We're going to go over here, and we are going to go and talk to John in Port Richey. John, good afternoon. You are in executive session, and you have the floor.
Wow. Thanks. So much there.
Yeah, it's kind of a meaty subject, isn't it?
Oh, my God. Well, just so much. I changed my mind because I'm listening to all the stuff. It's like you're pointing out. Yes, we turned away the Jewish people. That was a mistake. We shouldn't have. So learn from your errors.
Yeah.
Don't turn these people away from the border.
Yeah, and I understand that. I understand that there are people who are trying to cross the border, this is their second time. This is their third time. There are actually coyotes who are shepherding people across, and there are people who are smuggling, and all that is intermixed with people who are legitimately fleeing terror.
Yeah.
And that's the difference right there. We got to comb that group out.
And I think that brings up another point that I wanted to bring up, that the first caller kept saying illegal immigrants or illegal people coming in. And I would think that probably about 90% of all those people that just recently came across the border are legal immigrants.
Well, here's the
illegal that they think they are, and I don't think the people like him know that.
Here's a little.
They're all illegal.
Here's a little tidbit. Okay.
Yep.
If you present yourself at the United States border and you seek asylum, you are not an illegal alien.
Correct.
And I don't care. And it doesn't make any difference whether you came across in a port of entry or whether you swam the river or hiked through the mountains. If you show up and present yourself for asylum, you are not illegal.
Okay, I thought it had to be through a legal port of entry. So that's
no, sir.
But you
come across the river and you run into a Border Patrol agent and you say, "I am." Seeking refuge in your country. I am here to seek asylum. That's why I'm here.
Well, then I'd put that 90% up probably even higher. But, okay. But something else that I was thinking about, too, and your first caller, and I would like to ask this as an unofficial survey, because I was having a discussion, and they flat out told me that they believe Trump did not know that he could undo his own executive order with an executive order. That he didn't know that he was just new to politics, and it was just his ear. They couldn't see that he was most likely lying through his teeth on that. So I would like to ask the Trump supporters, that do they honestly, in their hearts, believe that Trump did not know that he could undo his own executive order with an executive order, even though he's been undoing Obama's executive order with an executive order?
Yeah, he's been stomping pretty hard through Obama's garden, hasn't he?
Yeah, that just boggles my brain that they think that he didn't know that.
Yeah, you know, I was in a conversation with Craig earlier today, and he told me that when the Trump administration first came in to power, that they actually had to look up. They had, I think he said that Steve Bannon had Steve Miller Google executive order because they didn't know how to do it.
Well, they figured it out pretty quick.
Well, yeah. I mean, and I suppose that, like so many other government things, there is probably some kind of template, you know, that you can use to do that. But and I don't know. I haven't looked to verify that. You know,
I got two more quick things.
Yeah, quick things.
Talk about the due process. Okay, fine. Now, this is something else that I just find so hysterical if it wasn't so serious.
Yeah.
I listened to Rush Limbaugh, Mark Levin, Hannity, who else? So Limbaugh, I just said him, sorry. But I listened to those three guys for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
And all this time I hear, especially Levin, they get upset about, those liberals, they don't like the Constitution. They don't like following the law. You've got to hate those liberals because they don't follow the law.
Yeah.
And Trump is going around going, we shouldn't follow the law.
Yeah, we should.
Due process.
Yeah, so that's okay. Listen, it's too cumbersome. Never mind.
I'm like, my goodness. And I wouldn't know what. And the liberals are the ones that are standing up for following the law. It's like such hypocrisy. The last one. The public shame. You said this is you said something about a trend that's happening?
Well, it's something that seems to me to have emerged in the news in the last week or so.
No. I'm going to disagree with you wholeheartedly on this, because Trump has been doing that he's been doing that since the beginning of his campaign.
John?
Shaming people.
John?
Yeah?
Point made.
Physically going there? I'm a little apprehensive to actually, you know, you're in there at a theater, you're in there having dinner. I shouldn't bother you. I don't even like going up and asking celebrities for autographs while they're eating.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, outside the restaurant, fine. Or if the restaurant says, I'm sorry, we don't want to serve you, they reserve that right to do that.
Yeah.
But this is not something that's new.
All right, John, listen, thanks. Your point is well made. Thank you very much, and we will talk again. We are going to step again away from the conversation briefly as we swing up toward the top of the hour on what is almost undoubtedly the fastest hour in radio, and we will return to the conversation ever so shortly. Support for WMNF comes from our members and Goodwill Industries Suncoast, committed to helping people achieve their full potential through employment services, training, and affordable housing. The sale of donated items at Goodwill stores supports services to people locally and contributes to community conservation. More at goodwill-suncoast.org. That's goodwill-suncoast.org. Is your unwanted car just creating stress? Well, donate it to WMNF, and it will create more hours of your favorite programs. Call 888-966-3885 or visit WMNF.org to schedule your free and convenient pickup today. Oh, yeah. All right, here we go. We go right back to this conversation. We're talking about the border. We're talking about the president of the United States advocating basically abandoning due process in the matter of handling people who are coming across the border and simply apprehending them and taking them back to wherever we think they came from, as though we are likely to know that. And we are we're joined here in the studio today by Mr. Victor Gomez, who is very, very rigorously keeping us in the road. And what you got, Victor? It says that Victor's looking at me. Okay. All right. Now we are going to not walk, but rush right back to the phones, and we're going to talk to Iata in Tampa. Good afternoon, Iata. You are in executive session, but you knew that.
Hi, John. Thank you so much, and thank you for taking my call. I called once, and it dropped, and I called again, so I've been on hold for a while.
Well, I admire your persistence and appreciate it.
Oh, thank you so much. And I thank you, Gomez, for doing what you're doing. I'm going to make a question out of this comment, so you may want to look it up for me, please.
Will do.
First thing is David, who called. I think he was the second caller. You're right on protests, boycotts, going to your local politicians' offices, writing, calling. All of those things are what ultimately have made changes in this country. While voting is good, especially locally, it does things on a longer lasting effect, but it doesn't do things immediately that's needed before the vote comes. So, yes, those are definitely needed. And one correction, why they harassed the woman in the restaurant, she had just made all these negative, slanderous, hurtful comments about Mexicans, and then she goes to a Mexican restaurant.
Yeah, I thought that my first question is, what is your ear made out of?
Exactly.
Because tin is it's at least tin. That was amazing. The unconsciousness of it was astonishing.
Exactly. And to your first caller, I don't know that he's still listening, but your first caller made some comments about borders. And this is what Gomez may want to look up. Check out how many open borders are in countries around the earth that have no problem.
Really?
And if the borders were not open when immigrants came and established and stole this country from indigenous Indians, they would have not been here to talk about what we're talking about today, to establish a government today.
Yeah. Well,
so
there
how
is.
Can you keep out people when you rightfully don't even own the borders?
Yeah. There is no one, and I mean no one, on this continent that is not an immigrant.
Exactly.
Period. There are no human beings developed on this continent. We all came here from somewhere else.
Exactly. That is my point, exactly. And what you said about wars, that was true because my father did that. And you used to get citizenship from the America or England when you fight with them.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what they're doing, but it just makes no sense. And to take away children from parents, they did that to Japanese. They did that to Jews.
They did it to the Indians.
They did that to Indians. I haven't finished. And they did that to the Africans that they were stolen from Africa to come to America. That was the thing they did there. So you're looking at the same thing. And they used to put Africans that were stolen to become slaves in America, the children in cages, and call it, excuse the language, but nigger zoos. So that's the same thing they're doing. They got these kids, people are passing, looking at them like, oh, my God. No, you do something about it.
Yeah. All right, Iata, listen, thanks. We are definitely and thoroughly in the lightning round here, and we are going to go and see if we can get some more folks into this conversation. Thank you. I'm looking forward to talking to you again.
Yes, sir. Have a
sure
beautiful
enough. Day. All right, let's see. We're going to go, and we're going to talk to Lester up there in Weekiwachee. Good afternoon, Lester. You're in executive session. You have the floor today.
Hey, John, as fast as I can. First of all, I changed my call location today simply because my mother, kudos to her, at 78 years old, is the oldest performing mermaid at Weeki Wachee.
All right. Congratulations.
Well, she's awesome. That aside, I'm just wondering why we have elected officials that are partisan.
That are partisan?
Secretary of Agriculture, Attorney General.
Mm-hmm.
They should be non-affiliated. They should not take lobbying money or contribution, campaign contributions, or anything that would influence their decision.
Well, it's an interesting point because everybody, everybody's entitled to their political opinion and their political affiliation. And when you take a job in the government, you swear an oath to the Constitution, not to your party, and not to the administration, not to the president, not to your boss, but you swear an oath to defend and protect the Constitution.
Now, I certainly wish it worked that way.
Well, but, I think that's nonpartisan. I think it's a pretty good description of nonpartisan, in my opinion.
Yeah, but you don't see it with Pam Bondi, and you don't see it with Adam Putnam. You don't see it with those people. They are party affiliated, and they lean in the direction that they're headed by the people who contribute to their contributions, and that shouldn't be.
I think it's. I think it is easy to reach that conclusion, and I am fond of saying that I think that in Citizens United, the Supreme Court put our elections up for sale, and then they threw a tarp over the cash register.
That's just awful.
So, all right, listen, Lester, thanks a lot, and I appreciate you, and we're going to go and see if we can get one more person on here this afternoon. Thanks, and we'll talk again. All right, Elizabeth, bring us home here.
You're going to be sorry you put me on.
Uh-oh.
I want to speak to civil obedience.
Okay, listen, I got a big red button over here. Don't make me land on that thing.
Oh, all right. I've been buttoned out before. No big deal. Anyway, I have always not supported Mr. Tweet's idea of the wall between Mexico and the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden now, I would support the building of the wall, but this is the civil obedience I'm going to speak. There is a circumstance that must be present during the building of this wall, or I cannot support it.
Okay.
That circumstance is that Mr. Tweet be buried underneath it.
that's rude.
Yeah, but it's my opinion.
That's just plain old rude right there. That's just
it. But like Daryl says, it's my opinion. Yeah.
Your opinions expressed here do not necessarily reflect those that's of the staff that's or management. Well, listen. I got it, and that's a very humorous way offhandedly describing your attitude toward the current administration. But what do you think? You've been around a day or two, and take a couple of rides around this around old Saul out here. What do you think about the president of the United States openly advocating for abandoning? Due process.
Isn't it to be expected? He wants it his way. The hell with everything.
Well, he certainly does seem to want it his way. There's,
yeah.
All right.
That's understandable from his viewpoint.
All right, Miss Elizabeth, thank you for bringing us home on a Monday afternoon. With any luck, we will get to talk with you again.
Dear John, I appreciate the opportunity.
Thank all right. You take care of yourself, and we'll talk some more.
Bye.
All right, here we are. We got 45 seconds to go. Be sure that you stay around here because we got It's the Music coming up. We're going to squire you through the afternoon, a little joy for your ears as we get you ready to drive home. Yes, siree, I saw some of those CDs out there, and I have some idea what's going on, but I'm not going to tell you about it. You're going to have to listen. So, we are going to be back tomorrow. Yes, we are going to be back tomorrow. And in the meantime,
it has to start somewhere. It has to start sometime. What better place than here? What better time than now?
This is WMNF, Tampa.